Well, I am so privileged to be with you. And I'm thankful to God that over the years I have come to know the masses, the River Church, and now for the past X years, New Life Chapel. Oh, you are our family. We're not just Nazarenes, we're family. Even if you are blue in color, we're family. One blood, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son. It is stronger than the blood that brought us here on earth. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son. It is the only blood that cleanses us and make us clean. I bring greetings from Jamaica, the land of my birth. The land where you find the most reggae music. Some of you don't know it, Bob Marley. No woman no cry. Yeah. And of course, you know that the Americans run behind us. But we're so glad that we're family. And I love you with all my heart. Burn Savannah, send their love for those who come and those who know there. And they're looking forward to meet many more from New Life Chapel. If you're not thinking of coming February, then just plan for the other year. Or as the Lord make it possible. Thank you for your great support of the church in Jamaica. It's not easy for us as a third world country. We have our great challenges, different challenges. You have yours too. But as a third world country, we have a lot. But God is helping us. One day at a time, we are crossing the bridge. Please pray for us as a family, as a nation. So now we hear what God is saying to us. He has said it to me, and with all my heart, I am convinced that he said it to me so that I can say it to you. I have no new message. I have no new gospel. Anything I've said, I will say now, is what God has told Reverend Massey to have said before, and to you all. So God is only reminding you and refreshing, right, of what he wants you to know. So we go to John chapter 21, 1 to 13. Sounds as if I am in April or March, because that's the time when this message is normally preached, following the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. I pray today that thou wouldst hide me behind this cross. And God, show up and present through me, Holy Spirit, this message. Cause that people would be helped and that everyone here today would go home with an understanding that you're the God who provides help. Father, hear my prayer, because I pray in your Son's Jesus' name. Amen. You will agree with me that our world lives on the edge of crisis. And I will repeat, our world lives on the edge of crisis. There is the threat of war in the Middle East, and it hangs over all nations. It seems that everything we eat or touch may cause cancer. The fear we will not receive our individual rights concerns many. Many other unexpected crises is on the horizon. But we have a God who we know is able to handle every situation. Can you praise the Lord? May I say to all of us that many are robbed of their joy as they face various crises. There are so many opportunities, but we are fearful even to take advantage of them. There's much joy to be found in the simple things of life, such as laughing. Do you know how to smile? Laughing with friends. Catching fish like I see down there on the boardwalk. Holding a baby, and so on. If life has become alarming and oppressive to you, it may be because you are not looking for joy in the right place. Today's scripture illustrates the pleasant experiences. The truth that we do not need to be alarmed. No need for alarm. Why? Because help is here. Help is not coming. Help is not anticipated. According to the scripture, help is here. And we're going to look a little more in the scripture to see what we can find. You know that the disciples were having problems. According to the scripture, and you can read it for yourself, St. John 21, 1 to 13. The disciples were challenged by the fact that their master was now crucified. And they did not know where to turn. The best friend they had was now gone from them. They felt very hopeless. And they felt that, why continue to do what we are doing? The one who makes our lives so happy, so exciting, is now not around. The praise leader said, if she breaks, you should continue to sing. Why? Because one she loved and treasured is no more with her. And it's likely that if the memory of her dad, I think, could cause her as she sings to break. But thank God, God kept her. God kept her, she could sing. So we're talking about no need for alarm. Help is here. And let me bring 3 points to you and close. The first step toward getting help is to acknowledge our need for it. The first step toward getting help is to acknowledge our need for help. Verse 1 to 3 of the chapter said, the disciple had a real need and faced it openly. A real need, and they face it openly. They had put all of their trust in Jesus. Think about it. They have put all of their trust in Jesus. The crucifixion and resurrection had created confusion among them. So they sought help in a familiar experience. What was the experience? According to the scripture, fishing. They know about fishing. They had good experience. Now, Jesus, which brought greater satisfaction to them than fishing, he was now gone. He was not around anymore. So they said to themselves, the only thing that's going to bring back our joy is fishing. And so they decide to turn to it. But according to the scripture, that experience did not meet their need. But admitting their need for help. So they admitted there was a need for help. May I say to us that no one ever gets help until there is an acknowledgement of a problem. You know, many people skip and dance. Many people appear to be okay. But the truth is that they are not okay. They need help. Admitting there is a need is not weakness. It is a sign of a sound mind, rather than a stubborn will. May I use 2 illustrations here? Do you need help? Blind Bartimaeus, do you need help? Listen to me. The man was blind. That would not allow him to kind of play a part in society. He could not see, and he wanted to see. He wanted to be more of a citizen that could contribute all he could to society. But he just could not move on his own and do what he wanted to do. He needed help. Did he sit aside? No. The Bible said he heard that help was in his community. Help was here. You know why? Because Jesus was passing by. And there were those who said to him, as he moved out for help, listen, man, you're stupid. Don't you see the crowd? You're hollering, you're bawling out, you're yelling. Do you think that Jesus is going to hear you? But the more they talked, the more they tried to quash and quiet him. He said, Jesus, can I speak loud? Thou son of David, I need help. I need help. So show love to me. Have mercy on me. Show compassion, for I need help. I want you to know that this man cried and the Lord heard him, like David said. And what did he do? The Bible said he saw Zacchaeus among the crowd. Oh, Lord, have mercy. It was the cry, a desperate cry, caused God to move. And according to the Bible, Jesus said, Zacchaeus, no, not Zacchaeus, Bartimaeus, I see your need, and I am going to provide for your need. The Bible said, Jesus acted according to his asking, and he was able to see like everybody else. Can he do that again? Yes, he has done it before, and he can do it again. Oh, you are not blind. But there is something else in your life that you need. You cannot on your own. On your own, you have been trying. There are times when you get into your closet. There are times, sometimes you get by yourself and you cry and you said, God, have mercy. How long I am going to be facing this thing? Can you help me? Can you help me? But there are those who are seeking help in other places and using other things to provide for whatever the challenge is. I have good news for you. There's no need to alarm. Don't think that it's all over, it's hopeless, because there is no one or nothing that can meet your need or speak to your situation. Jesus is here. He's here to meet your needs. He is here to set the captive free. And Jesus is here right now. But let me give you another. You remember this little man they call Zacchaeus? They call it the wee little man. The Bible said he also had a need. And the crowd tried to ward him off. But he was determined, whatever it takes, I am going to see Jesus, and I am going to bring my request to him. I'm going to talk to him about what I need. Yes, I know he will help me. Was he helped? Yes. I want you to know that Zacchaeus go to the extreme. To the extreme, because he could not see Jesus because of his stature, because he was so short. But he said, nothing is going to prevent me. Nothing is going to stop me. I have come for what I need, and I know that he can help me, and therefore, anything it takes, I am going to do. And so the Bible said, he ran, he find a way around the crowd, or through the crowd, and he found a tree. He went up there. But Jesus looked at him from where he was. He saw his faith. He saw faith in that tree. He saw a man that need. Oh, that has a need. And he could help him. And Jesus walked down to where he was. And he said, Zacchaeus, that's not the place you are going to find help. Come down. For I am here, Zacchaeus. I am here to meet your need. And his need was met. Amen. But finally, here is a woman on this story. Here is a woman that had an issue of blood. You remember in the Bible? Yes, yeah, she was bleeding for many years. She tried every physician around town. Some of them likely even ripped her off because she was desperate. She could not have gone where she would like to go. Other people, other women were enjoying life. They could go where they want to go. They could skip and they could hop and they could do what they want to do. They could find their friends and they'll go here and there. But every time she thought about going out, she was thinking that, suppose I go out and I'm exposed. She felt terrible. But one day, she heard that help was in her community. She heard about help, heard that help was available because Jesus was passing. You know, it was most challenging because according to the law, she was supposed to stay on the inside, not expose herself. But she said, if I die, I die. But help is available. I am going to go after it. Don't let anybody stop you. When Jesus is speaking to you and is willing to provide you support and help, don't let anybody stop you. She looked around and there were some people like that was sighting her up and said, what is that woman? The Bible never tell me if she disguised herself. I don't know. But maybe she did. Because she was determined that she was going to get help. She could not get, there were kind of people were there and she was pushed off and so forth. But she said, in her faith, she said, oh, I don't even want Jesus to touch me. I want to touch him. As a matter of fact, all I want to do is to reach out and touch his clothes. Just the hem of his garment. That's what faith tells her. Once you come to Jesus and once you ask him to do something for you, she was asking even by touching him, Jesus, can you help me? I need help. The Bible said Jesus saw her faith, her desire for help. Help to overcome what she was suffering from. And the Bible said, Jesus reached out. And from that very day, the woman was now excited. What she suffered from was dried up. And she could enjoy life even in the town. I don't know what you're going through. But some people would prefer to die than go to the doctor. But I want you to know that there is a greater doctor than any doctor you can think about. He doctors mentally, physically, emotionally. It doesn't matter what problem you are having. He can help you with it. Did you know that doctors, most doctors, are just about all doctors will try to help, but they have to wait on machine to determine what is happening on your inside. They're medical doctors. They have been trained, but they have to wait. But hear me. We have a Jesus. We have a Jehovah God. Did you know what happened? Why he can be trusted to take care of our physical or mental body and everything about us? Because Genesis said, in the beginning, God put us together. Every member of our body, he put together and make us to become one body. And therefore, he knows everything about us. And he can deal with everything. Number two. So I said first, the first step toward getting help is to acknowledge our need. What is your need today?
What are you challenged by? Are you broken because you have a relationship that is on the rock? Are you broken? Do you need someone to help you? The psychologist cannot. You have been talking with your friends and they're trying to counsel you. You have been even talking to yourself. And it seems as if you're getting no release. Mentally, physically, emotionally, you are going through it. And even spiritually, you are going through it because you cannot pray like you used to pray before. You cannot read your Bible. You are somewhat confused in your mind. And you are turning to other things in order to find help and support for your problem. I want you to understand that there's somebody here. You don't have to go back to fishing. And I do not speak of fishing literally here, figuratively. You don't have to go back to your past life. You don't have to go back to your past life and feel that your past life will bring you the joy that you desire. I have good news for you. There is a Jesus. There is a Son of God who can provide for what your needs are. But you must trust Him with your life. The second step is to be in the right place at the right time. And that place is in His presence. You sing a song and we sing it too. In His presence there's what? There's fullness of joy. And at the right hand there's what? Pleasures forevermore. The disciple had cultivated the presence of Jesus. They did not know where He was at a particular time. Jesus, but I want you to know, Jesus knew where they were, and He knows their need. You may not know where He is, but He knows where you are. The Bible said His eyes, Jehovah God, His eyes run to and fro the earth, and He sees every nitty gritty, every little thing. He knows where you are. Even when you do not know where He is, the scripture would have us to know that in verse 4. People who practice being in His presence will experience His presence when they need Him. Oh Lord, have mercy. If you practice being in the presence of God, you will experience His presence when you need Him. Yes, I want us to note, I may not know once again where He is, but He always knows where I am. The Bible say, David said, whither shall I go from Thy presence? Whither shall I flee from Your spirit? He said, if I make my bed in hell, You are there. If I say to the rock, fall on me and cover me so that he may not see me. He said, even there his eyes will see me. And I want you to know that God has special interest in His children. Of course, He rained rain on the just and the unjust. He provides for everyone. But I tell you something. Every man cares for other people's family and for other people's children, but there must be a special reaching out to your child. Isn't it true? And I tell you something, God loves everybody, but you see, especially His children, they are the apple of His eyes. Thus, He will never leave nor forsake you. He will be with you to the end of the age. Can you trust Him with your life? Can you trust Him like you trust a pilot? One of my general superintendent said, One day he was going to Africa. And when it was time for them to board, they went out and they were called back. And they took their seats and they waited. So they said, okay, you can board. And when they were boarding, they call again and say, return to your seats. He was afraid of flying. That's one thing also. So the third time they went out into the plane, he sat. He asked one of the hostess, air hostess, why were we in and out? They said something was wrong with the plane. He said, so what? Are we on a new plane? Are we on a different plane? The hostess said, no, they just changed the pilot. He said he sing and pray all the way to Africa. But I am assuring you that we have a pilot who knows the way. That we have a pilot who study the atmosphere, who knows everything about where we're traveling, where we're going. He knows everything about your life. He will take you safely through the destination, through life. But you have to stay in his presence. You have to stay in his presence. If you are going to find protection, you have to be like the chickens. Whenever there is danger coming at them, you don't know mongoose. Well, I don't know what you call it here, right? But these look a thing that will go after chickens and will eat them or suck their blood. But many times I have seen in my country where that danger is going after the chicks, the little one, and the mother open her wings. And you know what she's saying? Come to safety. Come under my wing. And then he clasped it. She would do that. And when she clasps her wing and the danger is coming, she is ready. She is ready to attack and she is not opening her wing. You know why? She's determined that she's going to protect the young one. She preferred to die. Than to allow the young one to die. Jesus, go to that extent when he pay your price and my price. Praise God. He was willing. Even if it means he was willing. When it was called upon for him to give up his life to protect us. And to deliver us from sin, he was willing to do that. Finally, the third step is being obedient to his guidance. Verse 5 to 13. The disciples' frustrations and fears were replaced with peace and plenty. Verse 6 said, they obeyed his command. He know their needs and prepare for them accordingly. According to verse 10 to 13. He said to them, you have been fishing all night. You have been doing what you know to do. And now you are exhausted. But listen to me. Do what I say. Just follow my guidance. And the Bible said, as they followed and responded to the guidance of the Lord, the Bible said there were so many fish. Oh, Lord, have mercy. There's so much. You know why? Because they were willing to obey him. Obedience was a catalyst between their need and their supply. May I say today, Jesus calls out to much as he called out to his disciple. He does not want us to be afraid of be frustrated. He will give us guidance to everyone that he produces an abundant life. He will give to you and to me guidance as well as abundant life if we will trust him, if we will commit our ways to him. The Bible said, in all your ways, what should you do? Acknowledge him, put him before, make him foremost in all your ways. Seek for his help, his guidance, and his support, and he will direct your path. Yes, those who are obedient to his call have no reason to be alarmed. Why? Because he said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will be with you. I want you to note, he provided for them. He sat with them. He ate with them. Oh, their life was rejuvenated. Direction was given to their life because they trust themselves to Jesus. Could I be speaking to somebody in this place? I believe the Holy Spirit is speaking to somebody right now. You're going through you know what. You don't even feel like you can tell anybody about what you're going through. On the inside, there's so much frustration. And you're wondering, who can you trust? Who can you open yourself to? And you just feel as if I do that, then I may pay a price, so I'm going to keep it to myself. But you're unable to handle your distress. You're unable to handle your frustration. You're unable to handle what you're going through. It could be sickness. It could be family problem. Whatever it is, I am introducing you to one who is able to meet your need and to free you from the challenges that you are facing. Will you, like the disciples, now that he makes himself available to you, will you accept his bidding? Will you respond to him? Will you trust him with your life? No more have you have to fear about what is on the future or what is going to happen tomorrow. You know why? Because you would have had Jesus. The Sankey Moody wrote, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and grief to bear. What a privilege we have, yet we do not take advantage of that privilege. You know what we should do? Carry everything to him. Leave it with him. Because he said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That what you have, you cannot bear. So I want you to cast it on me. Jesus is here. Not tomorrow. Not next year. not some time to come, but Jesus is here right now. Where the one or the two and so many more than what he speak of gather touching anything concerning my name, I will be in the midst to bless and to do good. Is it that Jesus is talking to you? Is it that he's saying something to you that you need to respond to? Why live so frustrated? Why live with so many things on your mind? Why? He can meet your need and he can set you free. Father, I do not know with my limited knowledge. I do not know the needs that are here. I do not know what people are going through. There are those who are very quiet. And Lord, trying to solve their problem all by themselves. But God, it is getting to them. Before they take action that likely will mar their lives tomorrow, may they come to you and cast that care on you. For you are able to take care of them. Father God, please. Please, God, like you did to your disciples, show up. Show up! And may they know that you're not far away. You're right here. In Jesus' name.